Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on an NBA draft Wednesday afternoon.
Show is.
It is 2 o'clock. The NBA draft will get underway, well, kind of, in about 3 hours. It is going to, the intel will get very, very, very spicy very, very, very quickly.
Over under 6.07 p.m., the Blazers pick 11th.
5 minutes on the clock. Over.
Over?
Yeah.
I do appreciate the NBA that they don't do nearly as egregious of a job as the NFL, where it's like the NFL has 10 minutes and then it's 12 minutes before they actually announce the pick. Like, if a team knows who they want, they'll get it done. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you go on, like Cooper Flagg, they'll put him on the clock. You will see pick is in. They'll wait and have a little bit of drama, but they don't drag it out nearly as long as the NFL.
No, the NFL wants to milk the living bejesus out of this, but the NBA also does the second round on a second day now. So,
yeah,
ugh. But
you can hear that over on 9:10 tomorrow.
There you go. Whether you're watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan or on 1080. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. It is indeed a wonderful Wednesday because, like I mentioned, it is NBA draft day. It is here. It is the beginning of the 2025 season. Now, the league books officially switch over July 6th. 2025, but this is the first seasonal event that marks the beginning of the new league year.
Okay, question about that. Do you think, because we've seen a lot of trades going on, and it kind of started during the NBA Finals when a team in the Finals was trading a pick during the NBA Finals with Indiana. Are we going to start seeing a slew of transactions with veteran players until that July 6th? Because once the new league year starts on July 6th, we're going to start seeing the official transactions start to come through.
That's the thing. It's like, so the trade for Jrue, the trade for Kevin Durant, I believe the trade for Kristaps, and I'm missing one other. Oh, CJ, and we didn't mention that. CJ McCollum getting traded for Jordan Poole and Sadiq Bey and some pick swaps.
CJ going to DC.
Yeah, the best line I heard on the golf course yesterday was, now he can go from being a lobbyist in the NBA to a lobbyist in DC.
That was me that said
that.
Oh,
so you said that?
That was me who said that.
I was mildly intoxicated. Mildly. I can't remember everything from yesterday. I'm sorry. It was a great day, but I'm still, somebody texted in that I'm mumbling. I'm tired. Yeah. Sorry, I'm absolutely cooked.
He he ingratiates himself to the city that he is in. He mm-hmm. became a winehead
mm-hmm. Here
while he was yeah. here in D.C. It's politics and. CJ likes mixing it up. I could see him becoming a lobbyist.
Being out on C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
Not hard to see.
CJ Span.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the branding mm-hmm. team will get started on that alongside mm-hmm. his Heritage Wine. But I wanted to get into the actual mock drafts themselves.
All right.
The mock drafts that I use that
Ace Bailey number one.
Yeah. The mock drafts that I use that I rely on, obviously ESPN with Givney and Wu.
Mm-hmm.
No ceilings. The guys over there, we've had them on the show. Corey, Tyler, Albert, all those guys. Steven, they do great, great work, and they do this year-round. It's no joke to them. This is what they do. The Ringer with Danny Chow and J. Kyle Mann. Those are guys that also, this is what they do. This is what they focus on. Jonathan Wasserman at Bleacher Report and NBA TV. He's been doing this for a very long time. And then The Athletic with Sam Vecenie. Those are the guys that,
yep.
in the public space, that I utilize because I know this is what they do. I think Sam's full draft guide this year ended up being like 100,000 plus words.
They do. The Athletic does a really good job with mm-hmm. draft coverage. Like Dame Brugler has the Bible that he puts out before the yep. NFL draft.
And Sam does the same thing for the NBA. It's weeks of writing.
Yeah.
It's very deep. It's very thorough. That's like those guys, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's plenty of other guys, and I'm not saying that you can't go use somebody else's or that there aren't other scouts out there, but when I'm collecting data and I'm tracking stuff and movement for guys over a period of time, those are the guys that I trust because those are the guys that I know that are in it that I have relationships with and I can text and go back and forth with and kind of get some understandings of things. So those are the ones that I'm going to use here. On ESPN, we're just going to do the lottery because we don't have that much time. Obviously, 1 and 2, Dallas with Cooper, San Antonio with Dylan Harper. I would be stunned if San Antonio moved out of 2. I would be stunned.
It would be stupid for them to do that, and San Antonio is not an organization that does stupid things.
No. Unless, you know, that they have an ulterior motive to do something that makes sense, and you go, oh, so I trust them. I mean, they have the track record of doing that, whether it's moving George Hill for a player from San Diego State who's pretty good, but we're not sure about in Kawhi Leonard.
Turned out pretty good.
But, I mean, that's the thing. I think people tend to forget George Hill was good
mm-hmm.
for the Spurs. He was really good. So for them, like, we're going to move out because we really hit this Kawhi guy, worked out pretty well for him. But at pick number 3, ESPN has the 76ers taking VJ Edgecum. And if they stay at that spot, that's the guy that I expect them to take. I love VJ, again, a guy that I had at Hoop Summit. You want to talk about high character? That dude's high character. And if you didn't get a chance to watch him at Baylor, hopefully you got a chance to watch him in the qualifiers with the Bahamas, with DeAndre Ayton. Like I've talked to DA about VJ. Speaks very highly of VJ.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if you did not see him play for Baylor, you probably didn't watch him play for the Bahamas.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Those guys speak very highly of him, not only as a player, but as a high character guy. I love the kid.
He's what, 6'5 with a 6'8 wingspan, is that right?
Yes.
Is that?
Yeah. Barefoot 6'4, 6'7 and a half wingspan.
Sheesh.
And probably the best athlete in the draft.
Yeah.
A crazy burst vertical ability to get to any spot on the floor. At pick number 4, they have Con Knipple. I have been a Con guy for a while now. I was a little unsure going into the season.
To Charlotte. Poor Con.
Yeah. He only gets to stay in North Carolina. One of the Duke guys gets to. But I genuinely think that Con is going to be a very good player in the NBA. And the comp that I like best for him is Desmond Bain. Bigger Desmond Bain.
All right. Hey,
physical
I like
guy
that
gets to his spots. Hey, look, it's not a white-on-white comparison.
No, you went racial unbiased
yes.
there.
Cross-racial.
I
try to find those so we don't be like, oh, he's kind of like Kyle Korver with Wiggle. It's like, no, don't do that.
No.
Don't do that.
Kyle Korver with Wiggle is a different player.
It's a totally different player. Like, Kyle Korver had Wiggle. Boy, that guy would be a special offensive player. That was the thing, though. He was the movement shooter from hell. At pick number 5, this is where, man, I don't know. I have conflicting intel all over the place at pick number 5.
Utah, by the way.
Utah
Jazz.
So,
the Utah Jazz.
Earlier in the process, Trey Johnson was very much seemingly the guy that they were going to go to, and then it became Jeremiah Fears. And ESPN has Jeremiah Fears. As of today, I have heard from multiple sources that the Jazz are considering Ace Bailey.
Oh, hey.
Which to me, my eyebrows went up because the intel I got previously was that not a landing spot for Ace. But one thing you have to consider, Danny Ainge brought in his son, Austin Ainge, to take charge. And I have had multiple people today tell me, Austin is in charge. That is a very real change within that organization because Danny's been there for a while now and he's had some changeover. And the question I had was, if you're bringing your son in to kind of groom him to be your replacement, essentially, why are you going to step on his toes?
Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting to see which way Utah goes here. Do they go with Fears? Do they go with Johnson? Or do they become a wild card here and go with Ace Bailey? Or do they trade out?
Jeremiah Fears, a guard out of Oklahoma.
Smaller guard, but very explosive. Showed out in the NCAA tournament. Like, he's got some juice to him. But he is 6'2", and I think 175.
Yikes.
He's small.
Little guy.
He's a little guy.
Little guy.
Little guy. But he is very young. He's very young.
I would, and the thing with Danny Ainge is that I feel like he will acquiesce to his son and say, hey, your pick. You do it. But what I also know about Danny Ainge is he will let the entire world know, no, this was Austin's pick. And he will be okay with that because Danny Ainge has always thrived on that of being like, I'll let you know when I did it, but I'll let you know when somebody else did it too.
Yeah.
All right.
At pick number 6, the Washington Wizards, according to ESPN, will take Ace Bailey. And this seems like and this is where things kind of get weird because Washington as an organization has really tried to prioritize the guy, the dude. And I just want to point out something real quick. Look who's on Washington now. CJ McCollum, Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart. Like, just look at how much. Remember, everybody made a big deal about a young rebuilding team adding a bunch of capable veterans that can still play. Oh, weird. Washington tried to not do that and went, we can't do this because this is not palpable.
Yep.
This is god-awful basketball. We have got to get some semblance of organization in here. Now, do they now believe that because they do have those veterans that they could take on someone like Ace Bailey who maybe lacks a little bit of maturity and go, here's the pros around you. Figure it out, dude.
That locker room is going to be really interesting.
Yep.
Personality-wise, they do have veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Smart
is the most outspoken of them.
And CJ McCollum may butt heads in that locker room big time.
No way. No way.
That may be the story to follow about that trade. The redeeming quality of Washington may be seeing how that plays out because you want to talk about oil and water.
Just two totally different personalities.
Boy.
I've definitely likened that over the last 24 hours to Robert Covington and CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
Which I'll leave it at that. So at pick number 7, New Orleans Pelicans take Common Malawach.
Interesting.
There are probably 5 or 6 teams that are interested in Common Malawach. It's the Pelicans, the Wizards. They could take Malawach at 6, and this could totally change everything up. The Raptors, the Thunder, the Hawks were rumored, but they went and got Porzingis. That probably takes them out of it. And the Nets. Those are all teams that are distinctly linked to Malawach.
Boy, that would be an interesting fit for him.
Mm-hmm. It allows him, if you look at the roster right now, it allows him to just be an anchor defensively and a rim runner. Like, they've got Zion, they've got Murray, they've got Murph, they've got Herb Jones. Like, they've got guys where he isn't going to be asked to do anything other than be big and rim run.
But that is such an interesting franchise because they do have an archetype of player that they want.
Previously, under David Griffin, because remember, Joe Dumars is now running things.
But
in
they like, either they will go with the biggest human being possible, Valanciunas, or they like skinny rim runner, get from end to end.
Yeah, they took Eve Missy last year.
Yep.
Who's incredibly bouncy big man. But I think they probably look at him as more of a bench big as opposed to being a guy who could be your starting big. At pick number 8, this is one of the slides that I was talking about. Trey Johnson was consistently mocked to the Utah Jazz. I have heard that the Nets like Trey. I've also heard that they really like Yegor.
What? I understand, in watching Trey Johnson, albeit limited this past year. He is, you would think he would be a top five.
He prospect. Can shoot the living hell out of the ball. Like, if you talk about how you get on the floor in the NBA, that's how he gets on the floor in the NBA immediately. But is he, number one, big enough to play the two? Is his playmaking good enough to, I said this the other day, right now he is as big as Anthony Simons, a little bit smaller. He's 6'4", 190 pounds.
Okay.
Ant's 6'4", 195 to 198 pounds.
I always see him listed at 6'6". Not?
He at the combine, he measured in 6'4", 3/4". At 190 pounds with a 6'10".
So 6'6" in shoes. Yeah. 6'6". So 6'4" and 3/4".
Yeah.
And there's got to be something in the interview process where they're talking to him and the commitment on the other end, it kind of sounds like he's like, I don't know, shooter. I just shoot. Yeah. Like, that's what I do.
And can he be a creator with the ball in his hands? And the Texas situation, I do want to give him credit here, was not good. He had played with a point guard who just, there was not a great relationship there. I've joked about Trey Johnson leading in claps per 36 for calling for the ball. But he's also a guy that kind of earned that in that he can shoot. He's the best shooter in this draft.
Yeah.
Like that period, point blank, that man can shoot the cover off the ball.
They had one of those, they did the live looksy-doos, you know, before the game when they were warm. They did his reel of his, like, just shooting pregame. And I remember just going, oh my God, like, he's not touching the rim.
No. He was a guy who was here for Hoop Summit, and I came into that going, you can shoot the ball. You can, like, I don't know about anything else. Honestly, you know, this is maybe a little too Portland-centric. Gary Trent Jr. was here during his Hoop Summit run before he went to Duke. I came out of that Hoop Summit, I go, I'm telling you right now, I don't know what Gary Trent Jr.'s career is going to be, but I can tell you right now, he's going to be a 40% three-point shooter in the NBA.
Well, that's fair.
And it's like when you watch a guy shoot who's a dyed-in-the-wool, yeah, that's a shooter. It is what it is. Pick number 9, the Toronto Raptors taking Noah Senge. That's a spot he's mocked. I said earlier that he was mocked to Portland. He was mocked there last night or the night before when I was writing. So sorry about that. He is number 9 going to Toronto. And again, archetype, profile, Masai, that all adds up.
All this is leading to is that the two guys that were through 9 picks here, two guys that the Blazers have coveted, still available to this point.
Pick number 10, again, according to ESPN, the Suns taking Carter Bryant.
There's one that is out. They like their guys from Arizona.
They do. And now Sarver is gone, but Tucson's just down the road. Right in your backyard, you're probably intimately familiar with Carter Bryant. Now, do they need wing reinforcements? Yes, but boy, do they need help in the front court at both the 4 and the 5. It's hard for me to not see them taking one of Colin Murray Boyles or insert big here. Like, it wouldn't shock me if they reached for a big there. It just wouldn't. Just because they,
if Malawach doesn't go earlier, that would be a fit.
At number 11, Kaspar Shakshionis to the Portland Trailblazers.
I wouldn't hate it.
I will say, and since we're kind of up against it,
6'8".
I'm gonna do the next couple picks here just real fast. If the Blazers take Kaspar Shakshionis, does that mean the clock is starting on Scoot Henderson?
Yes. I think it already has, hasn't it?
That's what I want to pivot to next, because I think there's a lot to come out of that. But at pick number 12, Colin Murray-Boyles going to the Bulls. They do need front court reinforcement. That wouldn't surprise me a bit. Atlanta Hawks, Yegor Demin. If they got their big, I could see them going down this path and being like, hey, we like jumbo playmakers. They have Zariza Shea. They have Dyson Daniels. They have Jalen Johnson.
It's a long-ass team.
And if you've got 6-foot-tall Trae Young, having a bunch of dudes that are just massive everywhere else, super helpful. And at pick 14, last pick in the lottery here, the San Antonio Spurs taking Johan Berenger, the big from across the seas for Cedevita Olimpia. And he is the best shot blocker in this draft. I don't know about anything else, but if the Spurs like an international prospect, they've done pretty well with that. I will tell you, he's big as could be, and he's got real shot blocking instincts. Beyond that, we'll see kind of where it goes. So that's the lottery as according to ESPN. But the question I have coming out of this is, if the Blazers do, let's open it to two players. If the Blazers take Kaspar Shakshionis or Yegor Demin, does that start the clock on Scoot Henderson? We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, 10 in the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
NBA draft a little under 3 hours away. Beginning of the 2025 calendar starts in the NBA tonight, and the Portland Trailblazers are currently on the clock with pick number 11.
Whoop whoop!
And we've gone through the lottery mock for ESPN, and in that mock, Kasparis Jokisonis, the point guard from Illinois, is the pick that ESPN has for the Portland Trailblazers. I've heard Yegor Demin mentioned to Portland a few times. Jake Fisher and Mark Stein put out their first intel report of the day, and they had intel of Yegor being a potential Portland pick. And again, Yegor was a guy that worked out in Portland. Earlier today, I put out the entire list as I know it to be confirmed of all workout participants that came through Portland. Obviously, I broke the news that Yegor worked out in Portland. But this group, basically everybody that has been linked to Portland has worked out here. So there you go. But all that said,
Bailey hasn't worked out.
Ace Bailey has not worked out anywhere. How about
Paul George calling? Do you see that Paul George he commented on that?
No.
Making demands. Yeah. I actually saw that earlier this morning. Like, basically called out Ace Bailey for making demands. It's like, dude, you haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a lot of players.
Says the guy who calls himself Playoff P.
Yeah, well.
You never know.
There you go.
Yeah, he said, you're not in a position to be making all these demands. Make it to the league first. His way of going about it is just not right.
Yeah, I think that's not only a general feeling among players, but front offices as well, which is why the perception is what it is around Ace Bailey. But as it pertains to the Portland Trailblazers.
He also did say he has a lot of talent.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't just him crapping on Ace Bailey.
No, it was the handling of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is more directed at his agent than anything else.
I think everybody has said that at some point. Mm-hmm. In the league, out of the league, players, non-players, what are we doing, dude? Yeah.
But the Portland Trailblazers have a point guard mocked to them.
We discussed
earlier in the show, the Portland Trailblazers trading Anthony Simons for Jrue Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So in your backcourt, as of right now, you have Jrue Holiday, Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, Matisse Thybulle. If you add Kasparis Jokisonis or Yegor Demin into that, you are investing draft capital into another guard, which I'm not entirely against if that's the best player on the board. Again, I love Jokisonis. I think he's going to be a very good player in the NBA.
And he fits that mold of, again, as we said earlier, he fits that mold of what Portland likes in a player. Long.
Big, strong, feel, IQ.
Can play downhill.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're leaning more and more into the feel and IQ stuff. Like, I genuinely do. And I think Kasparis and both Yegor fall into that vein. And they do need playmaking and shooting. While Kasparis is shooting tail off at the end of the year, early in the season, he shot the hell out of the ball before he had an injury to his wrist and his forearm that did ultimately impact him, as well as some confidence stuff. But if they take another guard, another primary ball handler, does that start the clock on Scoot Henderson? Because, boy, does that feel like it if you're cycling through a veteran guard, because not necessarily you don't trust wholly Scoot Henderson, but there's certainly the evidence is you don't fully trust
Scoot
Henderson.
Well, no, I think we've all seen it.
Yeah.
Like, Scoot has stretches. He has moments where you're like, oh, okay, there's the young buck right there. What? Gosh, it was probably in February when he had that step-back three-pointer take a lead late in the game, and it was like, oh, hey, look at old Scoot. Look at him go.
Was that the Brooklyn game he ended up going off? They ended up losing the game, went for 38?
I don't remember who it was against, but
it was in that period.
And it was kind of the jump start to one of those stretches where he said, okay, maybe this is the guy that they drafted and they thought they were going to get. Boy, it craters.
And I will say the Blazers do believe in Scoot Henderson's shooting ability. Like that is something they believe he will be able to shoot the ball. And of all my quote-unquote criticisms of Scoot, you've never heard me really say anything about his shooting, because I do think he'll be able to shoot it at minimum league average and probably above league average.
But this is the thing. I do appreciate that this team is going to be going down the road of, until you prove it, we are going to test you.
Yeah.
And we are going to bring in guys that are going to force you to compete. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to be that guy, then whatever. So be it. So if they go with Demon or Jakachonis, I'm okay with that, because it's not, hey, we've got this guy, we don't want to hurt his feelings, which is what we saw before.
It's competition. Figure it out.
We're going to bring in enough guys until you can prove to us that we need to stop bringing these guys in. And if Scoot does take a step forward, at that point you go, all right, now we got a luxury. Now we have a luxury, and that is where that was like the misnomer, is that this team was addicted to guards that were 6'4 and under, right? For so long. Well, this would be a drastic change. Scoot is not the biggest point guard in the world.
No, but he's strong as hell.
But you know what? Demon and Jakachonis,
they are big guards.
Big guards.
So it's 6'6 and 6'9. And Drew's 6'4, 6'5, and strong as a bull.
So what you're doing is you're bringing in a variety of guys saying, we know what we think you can be, Scoot. And by the way,
show it.
Drew Holiday is a awesome person to just point to and be like, if you want to maximize who you can be in the NBA, look at that.
That's
dude
the guy
who plays defense. He takes pride in defense. He is physical. He's a facilitator, and he can knock down open shots.
I had one NBA head coach tell me that he thinks Scoot Henderson got unfairly labeled coming out. He's still going to be a good player, but he believes that he's more Eric Bledsoe. And people might take that as a backhanded compliment.
Dude, before the injuries started piling
up, look at what Bledsoe was doing. And he was also, Bledsoe was a dogged defender. Like, he very strong, very physical, but he was a guy that was putting up 20 points and, you know, 6 assists while being a good, like, if Scoot Henderson turns into a guy who's like 18-7, 18.7 rebounds, and he's a dogged defender, that's very much Eric Bledsoe / Drew Holiday. You know how many 20-point-a-game seasons Drew Holiday has in his career?
None.
One. And he finished third in scoring on his team behind Anthony Davis and Julius Randle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the Drew Holiday at his peak is like a 18-7 guy, which that's if you're 18-7 and being a plus defender, you're really good.
Yeah, but he also had Anthony Davis and Julius Randle, and those guys don't exist in Portland.
No, but also, remember that series against Portland? As much as Anthony Davis got credit, and Dame has told me this numerous times, the first couple of years of Dame's career, Chris Paul was the boogeyman. After that, it was Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Drew was that dude.
God, who was the small forward on that team, too, where it was Drew and him jumping him at half
court? Well, Drew and Rondo were the guys that were doing it the most, but you had Etwan Moore.
Etwan Moore. Yeah. Just, like, I remember Etwan Moore, we're like, what the?
Yeah. You had Anthony Davis roaming the back line saying, we don't care about anything else you do underneath. You had Drew at the point of attack and Rondo pinching in, Etwan Moore pinching in. Like, the number of clips from that series where Dame had four eyes on him every time he had the ball was insane. It was, I've never seen playoff coverage like that for a player that I've, like, the single player ever. And, you know, that was the series that Al Ferrucamino shot the living hell out of the ball from three, and the Pelicans didn't care.
No, they said
shut down the engine and we're fine.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep it in the NBA draft there. I really want to talk about this because this is right down my lane of nerdiness and analytics,
but great.
The difference in Intel modeling and data and analytics modeling and what those things, how differently they project.
Can
some
we
of these
start
players.
With what it means.
Yes. I'm going to get okay, into perfect. All of that. But first is the Big Kuno with Sports Center Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With mock drafts in the NBA, particularly the ones that I've referenced, whether it's ESPN or No Ceilings or Bleacher Report, any of those, they're based on intel and discussions. Now, some people will say, hey, here's my big board, which is like, this is how I rank these players. But there's also people like Kevin Pelton who have analytic modeling to project players and then do a quote-unquote mock draft by the player predictions as opposed to fit, team, needs, all those kind of things. And one of the things I love about this is it can get very dicey very quickly on your favorite prospect. So Jesse Fisher on Twitter, he's one of the guys that does the modeling, collected a ton of models across the space. And these models, everybody has their own formulas and algorithms that go behind it. And like with Kevin Pelton's, it's based on historic numbers, based on output in college basketball, height, weight, all the anthropomorphic stuff and everything goes along with that. And then how they project in the NBA based on that production. And that comes from college basketball. It comes from international. It comes from high school profiles. So companies like Second Spectrum, which has become Genius IQ and Synergy, they have access to all of the high school stuff. Like if I go to Synergy right now, I can pull up high school footage and AAU footage and EYBL footage of basically every prospect in the draft from like in the most obscure places like U13 and U12 type stuff. It's like, I want nothing to do with it, but you take the data and you kind of feed it in and it gives you more data and it gives you a longer runway to see the improvement of said players. With that being said, Jesse Fisher compiled, I think it's 14 total analytics models on player projection and then did a draft slotting according to that. Cooper Flagg is number one in every single one.
Seems about right.
He is a special, special prospect.
Duke not winning the national championship is a little bit more egregious when you think that the consensus across all of these, Duke had three of the top eight players in college basketball.
And Konkanipal was on with Bill Simmons, I'll say last week on his podcast. And Bill asked him, like, hey, how does that game kind of live in your head? And it's like, Con's answer was a version of, if one of five things goes a different way, we win that game and it's going to live with me for the rest of my life. You know, like, and that's what happens when you're young though. When you've got three of those players in Konkanipal, Colin Malowicz, and Cooper Flagg, you know, remember
Florida had one.
Remember
one player.
Colin Malowicz not rebounding in that game. Let's say he rebounds in that game and, you know, you don't get an extra possession. Like, very, 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 very small things that could change very drastically. Number two on the analytics dashboard. VJ Edgecombe, pretty impressive profile if he's jumping ahead of Dylan Harper. Now, Dylan Harper had some efficiency issues, particularly at Rutgers. Now, Baylor wasn't this offensive powerhouse, but his modeling does project better.
Well, I mean, to put it in perspective how impressive it is that Cooper Flagg is number one in every single model analytically, VJ Edgecombe comes in at two. His highest ranking was two. His lowest was 16.
pretty wide swath,
right? Like, I mean, in that is where you see so many of these guys. They'll be, you know, they have some 3 and 19, you know, you'll have like 5 and 24. There's like, it's crazy. The variance that a lot of,
it
these
all
guys
depends
have.
On the recipe that guys are using for their models. Yep. And what it kind of highlights the things that those particular models may either under or overvalue, or the thing that that person built into that.
But Cooper Flag is number one in all of them.
In all of them. Every single one of them. Number three, like I mentioned, Dylan Harper. He does have the range from 2 to 19, which is a little bit wider swath than BJ Edgecombe. Number four, Colin Murray-Boyles. And this is the discussion around him.
This has been crazy.
Defensive, like, I don't think he's the best individual defender in the draft. I think Flag is going to be that guy. That's for me. If you want to say CMB is your guy, I'm not going to like fight you on it too much, because the rim protection part of it, that he's going to be probably better there. But the offense is such a drastic question, but it just shows you his defensive profile. The things that, like, there is one thing in college basketball that will always translate. It's the number one thing. It's rebounding. And Murray-Boyles is a plus rebounder for his size. There's no doubt about that, while also being kind of a defensive savant when you talk about how he measures up to his peers. But when you're talking about the spacing between that, Colin Murray-Boyles, his highest ranking is 2, his lowest ranking is 18. But there's a lot of 7 in there. And that shows the offensive limitation ceiling, right? Like, he's very good defensively, but he can't really rise above that in but one model because of the offensive limitations. At number 5, Con Knipple.
Oh.
This shouldn't be surprising to anybody. He was incredibly productive when he took over for Cooper Flag, when he rolls the ankle in the ACC tournament, becomes the ACC tournament MVP, is the unabashed offensive engine of Duke. It was like, oh, no, this is not a, like, a, he's kind of good. It's like, no, he's really good. But again, we're getting wider and wider. Con ranks 5th overall, with his highest being at 2, his lowest at 15. So you're seeing the swath just kind of run back and forth. And this is where it gets really interesting. Your next 3 guys: Jace Richardson, the 6-foot guard from Michigan State; Noah Senge, the big forward from Ratio Farm Ulm; and then Common Malawach. And his size, his defensive rim protection metrics, and everything kind of feeds into that. You see 3 guys here, 2 with kind of outlier size. Well, actually, all 3 have outlier size, but you've got Jace Richardson at 6 foot, who, despite his production, is probably not going to go any earlier than number 20.
Interesting. Well, it's the size is 100% the
It's a massive, massive hurdle to overcome. Because if you look at the players that are 6 foot tall that are successful in the NBA, it is a short list. When you're talking about guys that aren't role players, it's the Mike Conleys. Like, you got to be a special, special, special player to be. And that's the thing about Jace. When I asked him about his size, who do you watch? When he said Mike Conley, my eyebrow went up. Like, okay, so that's that awareness that we're talking about. He's not like, well, you know, I watch a lot of Kobe. It's like, no, dude, you might, but that can't be your game. You're just not able to do that. After that, you have Thomas Sorber, who is the big at Georgetown, who is a guy I can very much, if Oklahoma City moves up, I can see them being him being the big that they like there.
I have no opinion on him.
6'10", 260 pounds. Big old boy. It's some beef. He had a foot injury that sidelined him, but he was a guy who was probably going to post a double-double in college basketball, which if you can do that as a freshman in college basketball, you're doing pretty damn good. After that, you get Jeremiah Fierce, Kaspar Shakshionos, Asa Newell, Derek Queen, Carter Bryant, and then we get to Ace Bailey and Trey Johnson. Ace Bailey comes at number 15, as high as number 6, as low as 38.
That is the variance. And there's plenty of reason. And this is, like you said, the framing of this is where each analytic
model
slots these guys in at. There is variance based on what that model covets. And for Ace Bailey, and especially Trey Johnson, look, you can tell the ones that love shooting, he is very high.
Trey Johnson is high as number 3, as low as 51.
Defense.
Playmaking, the other stuff.
Yeah.
He's a bucket getter. Like, but if you value that,
in that, great. To me, a guy like Trey Johnson slipping does not mean that he will have a career that is not successful in the NBA. it means that the fit on the team that he goes to may be actually very good, mm-hmm. and it works out for him tremendously.
And fit is such a big fit, and context are such huge deals. A guy we've talked about a lot in Yegor Demin, he is next on this list. He is number 17 overall. His highest is 63. His lowest is 6. And that's what you talk about. When you get further along in the draft,
yep.
there's the swath, the range of success, the boom or bust of it all. That's where you start seeing things get wider. And I think that's the things you have to talk about when you're in your draft, and whether you're Portland or any team in the NBA, of like, okay, yes, let's use Yegor as the example here. Let's say Yegor has like the third most potential in this draft outside of Cooper and Dylan, which I believe Kevin Young or BYU's head coach, I'm totally blanking on his name because Young's at Kentucky
now. Yep.
Anyways, he said, I think Yegor's got as much talent as anybody in this draft save Cooper, and I think he put Dylan Harper in there as well.
That says Kevin Young.
I'm totally blanking. Either way, my brain is mush right now. Yeah. But BYU's head coach is like, I think he has as much talent as anybody in this draft, not named Cooper Flagg or Dylan Harper. If you believe that, what ends up happening is with Flagg, his boom or bust is a lot tighter. Mm-hmm. His boom is much more likely to occur than his bust. It's a tighter window. With Yegor, let's say his boom is just a step below Cooper Flagg's. But
Mark Pope is at Kentucky.
I'm sorry, yes. Pope left BYU to go to Kentucky, and then Young stepped in at BYU. But his bust, the range is a lot wider.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think a lot of the modeling will tell you when you get further down the draft. Yeah, you might have boom potential. Yeah. But the likelihood of you hitting that is smaller, and the window for your bust is larger. And so I think those are the kind of things that I really like looking at when you're talking about slotting guys, whether it's your top 100 board, your mock draft, or looking at the analytical models. All right, coming up next as we wrap up the show today, you put it on me. Who do you want to see at that pick, and what do we expect to happen in the NBA draft? We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, 10 the Fan. As we get out of here today, a little more than 2 hours away from the beginning of the NBA draft. Big day, not only for the Trailblazers, but around the NBA, and the phone continues to buzz and buzz and buzz with all kinds of things of Twitter in the NBA space right now as teams are bunkering up into their war rooms. The leaks are going to get cut off here probably in about 25 minutes as things really start to button up and teams are really putting their nose to the grindstone, as it were, preparing for the NBA draft and what is about to come.
Hopefully there's fireworks tonight, not just in Portland, but around the league. You're seeing the pinch has already started with a lot of teams, Boston specifically. But look, there's a lot of buzz around, you know, the Knicks and Mikhail Bridges and Mitch Rob being on the table. Yeah, and they are drafting today and they don't have a first-round pick, do they?
I don't think they do.
So I guess they don't need a coach. No sense of urgency there. Who cares? You don't have an identity anyways. Doesn't matter.
I mean, going into the draft in a transaction cycle without having a head coach is certainly interesting.
This is the epitome of when fans want to fire a coach
and you don't have a plan.
Yep. You have to have a plan. If you fire a coach, you have to have a plan. Who are you going to get?
It's not just vibes.
Because Tibbs agreed, like, runs guys into the ground. You know, in the playoffs, he gets out coached.
And he also got you further than you've ever been in a quarter century.
You're damn right. And now you're sitting there going, where are we going to go? Mm-hmm. What are we going to do?
Well, speaking of where are we going to go, what are we going to do? You asked me who I wanted. Who do you want the Blazers to take if they do indeed pick at pick number 11 tonight?
Ooh, see, that's the thing. Like, fireworks is what I want. I don't, like, in my perfect world, they make a big deal and they don't even pick at 11. But logic tells me they will be picking at 11. And the more I learn and dive in, the more I like Jakachonis, the Illinois guard. I mean, he fits the identity of what Chauncey Billups wants his point guards to be. I think that also, we talked about this, where Jrue Holiday, Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, and then Matisse Thybulle being your backcourt guys, add another guy, competition, and see who comes out of it. Because right now you don't have that position where you have full trust in who's going to be that guy in the future. If you can create that competition culture, I think that that'll be good because somebody's got to rise above it. And you hope it's going to be Scoot, but if it's the Young Buck, perfect. Don't be afraid to go there, though. If it's not Kasparis Jakachonis, Yegor Demin.
Okay.
Go with the 6'9 long freak who...
Bet on the upside
and okay. Say he's been working to develop a shot. Hopefully that does come around. It's going to be important. But
if he's a 6'9 guy who has his passing ability and let's say he turns into a plus shooter, even if his rim pressure isn't great, having a guy that can pass over the top of guys like that and be a guy who can toggle on. The question I have is his off-ball fit because he's never been off-ball in his career.
But they're drafting 11th, so take a flyer and go get it.
Look, I wouldn't be against it. It wouldn't be my first move. I do like Yegor. I do have reservations.
Sure.
I think, honestly, with anybody they pick, I have reservations.
I was going to say, the guys that we're talking about, Carter Bryan, who came off the bench for Arizona, Jakachonis, who had wrist injuries and his shooting went, and you mentioned this earlier, a confidence issue. Mm-hmm. That crept in. That's pretty significant red flag to have on a guy. And then you have Yegor, who he's got his question marks that are in there, mainly shooting on a team that doesn't have a lot of shooting. But where, no matter who they pick at 11, you're going to have questions and people are going to be able to nitpick it, and they will.
Yeah.
This is Portland, where nobody seems to be ever happy with the draft pick. Everybody just freaks out one way or the other. One side will be aggressively optimistic and the other side is going to be aggressively pessimistic. And that's fandom, and I'm here for it.
I will say this. As it stands right now, I do believe the Blazers are going to use the pick. But I'm not sitting here screaming like I did last year. They're going to use one pick for sure. And figure that out. So on this side of it, I think there's a chance that there is a chance they move it. Same.
It's almost the 4th of July.
Yeah, it is.
It's fireworks time, baby. Right. Hey, again, thank you to everybody who came out for the Fan Golf Classic yesterday out at Langdon Farms. Mainly our great sponsors, our presenting sponsor, Wilsonville Toyota, Henderson Daughter Window and Doors, and Philbrook Law. Y'all are awesome. All of our sponsors.
Absolutely.
They were great. Matt's Barbecue knocked it out of the park. The burritos from Victorico's were insanely good. Thank you to everybody who came out. Honestly, it's an awesome day, and we thank you for being out there. Coming up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's primetime with Buckensook with Ortner on the other side of the glass. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. See you Thursday, noon to 3.
Bye.
I don't think I've ever gotten ball sacked.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.